on the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Happy, what is today? Thursday. Happy Thursday, everybody. Man, I just don't keep up with them anymore. You get my age, you just don't care anymore. Just another day in paradise. Looks like some temperatures around the state are warming up nicely. 70 degrees at Hollis, 70 at Mangum, 67 at Sealing. Arnett, you're 67. Buffalo, you're 67. 68 at Medford. Out here in the Panhandle, Texas, more of the same. Lipscomb, Canadian, Miami, you're all 67 degrees. 69 at Wellington, 70 at Childress. And big town of Odell, south of Altus, across the big old Red River, 71 degrees. If you get on KCO's Facebook page, I posted a video of the North Fork of the Red River flowing behind my house. And it's full. And matter of fact, I looked at the Carter gauge at the Carter Bridge, and it come up about 3 inches, which don't sound like much, but that's a lot of water. And so I did some math for everybody, and I said the North Fork of the Red River is flowing full. Lake Lugard is 67% full, according to the lake logs at 10 o'clock. Current inflow is 440 cubic feet per second. That equals to 3,202 gallons per second, which is 192,126 gallons per minute. And then I had to cross it over to the oil field measurements. So oil field guys that understand how much water's actually going into Lugard right now, 4,574 barrels per minute. That's a lot of water, folks. That'll fill up a little over 9 frac tanks, 500 barrel frac tanks in a minute on a 64 choke. So it's just it's wonderful. It's just filling the lake up and kind of filling up the water holes along the river there. I know the dogs and I, when we drove down there, is there's a reason I don't take live calls on the phone here, and I just got a text message, and I'm not going to repeat what he says, but where was I? The dogs and I drove down in the bottom yesterday, and you're not going to get down in our bottom with a pickup. We was on the Ranger, and I was sliding and sliming. There's water standing everywhere in the fields. Bruce has got 2 gauges down there. One of them's a pond where it gauges where our irrigation water is up on the hill. And then another one is a slough that gauges where the river level is. And it's that slough, that slough for the river level, man, it's full. There's a lot of water standing out there. So it's wonderful to see this in the spring. It's been a long time since we've had this much water running through. It's wet, and we like it, everybody. And looking at the forecast, though, there's not a lot of rain in the forecast, so enjoy what we got for now. You never know. The faucet might have just turned off, but maybe just for a little bit. You got to be optimistic. Let's see what happened in our big old world of agriculture last night. Shortly after 6 a.m. Central Time this morning, July corn was up a quarter of a cent at 449.5 per bushel. July soybeans were 6 cents higher at 10.45 and a quarter a bushel. July soy meal was up $1.10 to $2.96.10 a short ton. July soy oil jumped 0.41 cents to 47.74 cents per pound. July wheat markets were stronger in early morning. The Chicago Board of Trade wheat was up 3 3/4 cents to 5.38 per bushel. Kansas City wheat increased 4 3/4 at 534 and a quarter a bushel. Minneapolis wheat was 3 3/4 higher at 606 and 3/4 per bushel. Corn prices have fallen below the late March level of support now at the lowest level since last December. According to Bob Linneman, a commodities broker at Close Commodity Advisors, Linneman said selling pressure in old crop corn and the wheat complex weighed on the grain markets. Soybeans were able to close mixed as traders considered what could happen this weekend at the meeting between the United States and the Chinese officials. We'll see what that happens. Today is Thursday. Ethanol inventories are in, and they continue to fall, according to this report from the Energy Information Administration. Production fell to an average of 1.02 million barrels a day in the week that ended on May 2nd. That's down from 1.04 last week. The Midwest, the largest producer, output averaged 968,000 barrels. That's down from 980,000 barrels last week or the week before. A Gulf Coast production dropped to 20,000 barrels, and that's down from 28,000. Rocky Mountain output decreased also from 11,000 to 10,000 barrels. East Coast was unchanged. West Coast saw an increase to 10,000 barrels. Ethanol inventories in the week that ended May the 2nd fell to 25.191 million barrels, and that's down from 25.389, about a quarter million barrels shy of what it was the week before. Looks like most of the Midwest and the Plains will be dry, according to the National Weather Service. It says this will be there will be significant variations in temperatures, however, with the Northern Plains and the Upper Midwest forecast to be well above average. As for the areas set to get rain, a broad area of showers and thunderstorms is expected in the upper-level low wave accompanying surface cold front from northeast, southwest through Ohio Valley and southeast and westward along the Gulf Coast and southern and western Texas. So that's it. They're saying there'll be some flash flooding going on in South Texas. So that's your weather for the Ag Belt. What else we got here? Let's see here. Oh, the current drought, U.S. drought monitor is out. Man, it has changed a lot in the last 2 weeks. According to the current map right now, most of North Texas, East Texas, almost all the Texas Panhandle, and probably everything but the Northwest, very, very Northwest in the Oklahoma Panhandle, all of Oklahoma, there's no drought. It's measuring zero, which is great. Up in Northwest Oklahoma, there looks like there's still a little bit of D2 going on. I'm trying to guess here. I'd be like, you know, north of Arnett, heading along the Oklahoma-Texas line, making the old 100th parallel or whatever corner that is there at the Panhandle, around Beaver and Slap Out and through there, still in a D2. And just to the east of Woodward, we're in a D1, and the very far western end of third of the Oklahoma Panhandle is in a D1 drought, and just there just ain't much going on in the Texas Panhandle except just looking good. We got lots of good rain, so that's a good sign. Hopefully maintain that all summer long. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Okay, we're going to take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. If you're watching on Facebook, I got my Oklahoma Farm Bureau hat going on, and we'll be right back after this break.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boombacks, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Trade-ins aren't just for cars anymore. Now they're for tools. Bring in your old tools and save up to $250 on brand new Milwaukee tools this month at Napa. Save $50 on tools like a half-inch drill driver kit. Save $100 on tools like a half-inch extension anvil controlled torque impact wrench with one key kit. And save $250 on the 1-inch D-handle extension anvil high torque impact wrench with one key. Bring in your old tools and pay less for brand new ones during the Milwaukee Trade-In event at Napa in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May the 5th. 1,226 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 418 brought 460. 8 at 528 brought 378. 5 at 777 brought 284. 74 at 849 brought 287. 52 at 875 brought 280. 22 at 896 brought 278. 4 at 986 brought 242. 5 head of heifers at 416 brought 420. 7 at 674 brought 290. 20 at 788 bought 272. 15 at 858 brought 261. 9 at 871 brought 250. Butcher cows were 114 to 164. Butcher bulls brought 166 to 204. Bred cows were 1975 to 3225. Pairs brought 2400 to 3500. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Odell, excuse me, Odell, Texas. 70 degrees, humidity 61, the dew point's 56. Winds out of the northwest at 3 miles an hour. Let's see here, 3.47 inches of rain so far, month to date, and 66 is the 8-inch soil temperature so far. All right, let's see here, what do we got? Let's check out the current grain market real quick. Oh, by the way, OU just beat LSU in softball. Boomer! Let's check it out here. May corn. 436 down 4.5. July is 444 down 4.75. Soybeans for May, 1034 up 4. July is 1041 up 2. Soybean meal, May 287.90 down 10. July is 297.20 down 80. Soybean oil, July 48.19 up 86. Hard red winter wheat, May. This is back off. Let me back up. Hard red winter wheat, July 523, down 6.25. September 537, down 6.25. Also, cotton, July 66.57, down 81. December 68.68, down 57. West Texas oil, June 59.87, up $1.80. And natural gas, June 356, down 6. The NASDAQ and S&P and the Dow are all doing well. They are very much in the black. Live cattle, June 2, 1387, up 137. August 2, 0967, up 130. October 2, 0722, up 105. Feeder cattle, May 2, 9617, up 172. August 3, 20. Check that out. At 160, up 160. I think that may be the first time I've ever seen a 300 on that scale. September is 299.15, up 182. All right, let's see what happened at the Beaver Stockyards this past Tuesday. 3,734 head were sold. Bred heifers were weighing average. I'm giving you all averages here. 909, average price, 223.75, 2,035.88 per head. Bulls, average weight, 1,478, average price, 178.99, $2,644.76 per head. Let's see what their top selling big bull was. They had a bull that weighed 2,030, brought a $1.72, and the owner took $3,491.60. Bull calves, they had 57 head of those, average weight 415, average price 386.61. A little over $1,600 per head. Cows, how many do they have cows? Look, quite a few. They're still selling cows at all the sale barns. That just amazes me. 308 head of cows, average weight 1,223 pounds, average price $1.79, almost $2,200 per head. Heifer calves, let's see how many they had. They bear with me. This is a little different deal that I got to read off here. Heifer calves, 161 head, average weight 454, average price 362.45, almost $1,650 per head. Heifer yearlings, had quite a few of those, 636 of those to be exact, average weight 695, average price 293.89. Almost $2,050 per head on the average. Let's see what the high one sold for. There we go. They had eight of them at 978, brought 231, $2,258.03 per head. Okay, they had some pairs there. They had 15 pair, average price $213.34. They brought $2,800 per head. Steer calves, 132 of those, average weight 471, average price 410.07, $1,929.96 per head. Steer yearlings, I wonder how many they had over $5. I'm looking at this here. See real quick. Steer calves, 490. Oh, there's some. One weight 315, 507.94. All right, on the yearling steers, let's see here. They had a lot of those. Let me get down the bottom here. Yearling steers, 2,373 head. Average weight, 895. Average price, 280.75. $2,513.41 per head. Let's see what some of these big loads here brought. They had 26 black steer, 647. Average 2206, and then they add, let's get back up here to some bigger weights. Holy moly. There was some weighing 1645, brought a $1.85, a little over $3,000 a head, but let's get back down in here. There was a full load weighing 1118 pounds, brought 264. It was about $48 shy, averaging $3,000 per head. Pretty good. Good sale at Beaver Tuesday. Okay. Let's see here. There we go. I've been wanting to talk about it. And the reason why I'm talking about this is this morning when I went out to one of the producers here, Southwest Elk City, this conversation, actually almost not word to word, but pretty much the same, was talking about the beef back in the 70s and 80s, and how far the quality of beef has came. And then, you know, Brandon and I was talking Tuesday about what they said at the Hemp Hill County Beef Conference. You know, it's not supply, it's what people are wanting. You know, they're wanting beef. And you go in the grocery store, and yes, the price of beef has gone up, but people are still wanting it because of the quality of beef you're getting nowadays, especially if you buy from local producers around your area. But headed into the grilling season, consumers have a better grade of beef to choose from. The percentage of beef earning a choice grade has increased from about 50% in the early 2000s to about 75% today. Choice is one of the three grades consumers will likely see in the store. The U.S. Department of Agriculture defines 8 grades for beef, which its evaluators classify. However, the food industry applies a second layer of classification that goes a step further than the USDA, and those are the grades consumers see in the store, says James Mitchell, an ag economist from the University of Arkansas. Prime is the top grade of beef, showing an abundance of marbling. The amount of fat interspersed into the lean meat. Choice beef has less marbling, and select grade beef is the leanest. Josh Maples, assistant professor and extension economist for Mississippi State University, noted the increased availability of higher grades of beef in his April 28th article in, says, Cattle Market Notes. Choice carcasses represent about 50 to 55% of the cattle in the 2000s, but has been more recently hovering in the 75% range, he said. About 3 to 4% of the cattle were graded prime in the 2000s, compared to 10 to 12% now in recent years. For the last few weeks, more cattle have graded prime than select. How's that? We have more high-quality beef than we have in the past, Mitchell said. This is where the beef industry is competitive and it's good for its consumers. Both Maples and Mitchell said the trend towards more choice is a combination of genetics and management that drives graded beef. In 2024, the average fed steer carcass was 931 pounds, 124 pounds heavier than in 2004. The implication is we are getting 124 pounds more beef per fed steer. This comes from genetic improvement in feedlot performance. Okay, we never need to forget the feedlot. Mitchell said that feedlots can also manage how long cattle are fed to absorb the market shocks or adjust the cattle supplies. During and after COVID, we've seen a trend towards more days on feed, he said. Feeding cattle longer changes how muscle and fat are deposited. Specifically, it increases the likelihood of higher quality grades by enhancing marbling. This hasn't been a problem recently because fed prices have not been as high as they were previously. Otherwise, you'd have an incentive for cattle to come off feed quicker. Last but not least here, Mitchell said, with the more beef grading is choice or higher, less beef is grading select. Well, of course, choice and select beef go to retail grocery stores, while choice and prime beef go to restaurants. There are industrial grading standards that are not formal USDA grades that help determine the marketing channel for choice beef. And my hats go off to all the producers out there. And just like, I'm not going to say his name. I don't want him. I didn't ask him if I could talk about him on the show today, but this morning we was talking, you know, and, it wasn't surprising to me. He said, I expect my feedlots to give me information back to where I can. So if I need to improve, so I need all these gradings, I need all these reports from my cattle, whether it's off 25 head or 500 head that he's got in the feedlot, whether it's in Texas, Kansas, Nebraska, or Montana. He said, I need those specs back because I want to keep my quality of beef great. And he's not the only one I've heard that from around here. Of course, Taylor Ranch and Tucker's and more ranches out in the Texas Panhandle. I just want to share that with you because our beef quality is better than it's ever been. And so my hats go off to the producers that it's costing them a little money on genetics and stuff, and the bulls are hiring, which is fine. They're getting their money back. I mean, there's some steers' carcasses coming out of the feedlots from some of these producers that are, they're getting $3,500, like $400 to $500 in bonuses. So it's great. They get bonuses and we get better beef. How about that? All right. The day is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We're going to take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. We'll be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Get ready, Western Oklahoma. The Wild Plum Jam is back and louder than ever. Coming to Sayre on Saturday, July 19th, it's a Red Dirt Revival you won't want to miss. Live on stage, Cody Canada and the Departed. You ain't the only one. Stoney LaRue. It's Oklahoma Breakdown. You sure do got you crying. And Western Oklahoma's own Tyler Wilhelm. Yes, I'm proud of who I am. All jamming on Route 66 in Sayre. One night, one stage, and a whole lot of Red Dirt music magic under the Oklahoma sky. Hey, hey, you're not an in-betweener. Lock in your spot now. Tickets will go fast. Get yours today at KECOFM.com. That's KECOFM.com. The 2025 Wild Plum Jam in Sayre, Oklahoma, powered by KECO 96.5 FM. Be there.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay. It wraps it up. It's better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because there's nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
I've told multiple people that have business ideas that come in. I said, bring me everything you got, even if it's scratched on a napkin, and it doesn't have to be professional looking. I want to see what you went through because I want to help you and then at least give them my 2 cents. The loan's going to stand on its own. You know, I'm not going to decide based off you brought this on a napkin. The point is if they've thought it through, it makes you more comfortable. You get more comfortable with them. They also get more comfortable with you because you're going to point out things that they may have thought of, didn't put down.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back. Putnam, Oklahoma. Here is your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update. 68. Dew points 55, the humidity 61%. I was thinking, I was listening to the Camrock Hay Wrap commercial there. Savannah was talking there. I know there's a lot of wet hay on the ground right now. You guys, you need to be thinking ahead. You need to stop by here in Camrock and pick up some of that hay wrap. It's good. It's good quality, and they got a good price on it too. I'm not going to say what it is in case it changed since I've got some a couple weeks ago, but they've got a really good price on their hay wrap there. The winds are out of the north, northeast at 10 miles an hour, 10-day rain total, 2.79 inches, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 60 degrees, sunset at 8:28, 20% slight chance of thunderstorms today, 71 for a high, 50 for tonight, mostly clear. Tomorrow, another beautiful day, 75, mostly sunny, with north to northeast winds, 7 to 10, 15 miles an hour. So not too shabby. Hopefully we get some drying weather so we can get some of this hay off the ground. Let's see here. There we go. Last week, the five area market weighted average fed steer price topped $220 per hundredweight for the first time on record. This was a $35 increase from a year ago and up $20 per hundredweight since the start of the year. The CME June live cattle futures contract closed above $213 per hundredweight on Monday, also a record high for that contract. Looking across a longer time frame, the trends of fed cattle weights and beef quality grades over time are interesting. As shown on the dress weight chart, fed cattle dress weights have increased over time. Technological advances in raising cattle have allowed the sector to produce more beef per head. The chart shows a few years of declining weights and seasonal patterns within years, but the general trend is increasing fed steer weights over time. Assuming a 62.5% percent average dressing percentage, a 950-pound dressed weight would equal a 1,520-pound live weight. Larger weights in the 2024 boosted beef supplies to offset fewer head processed. Okay, and we'll stop right there before I finish this here. Assuming a 62.5% average dressing percentage, a 950-pound dressed weight would equal to a 1,520-pound live weight. For you folks out there that know very little about what's going on when you have a calf butchered, I wanted to stop there and re-explain it. I've said it half a dozen times over the last four or five years. When you get a calf, let's just say it weighs 1,500 pounds, and a well-fed calf will dress somewhere between 60 and 64% average. That's going to be your hang weight. But you're not going to get 950 pounds of meat when you bring it home. Say you buy half a beef, and say a 1,500-pound calf dresses 900 pounds. Round these numbers off so for easy figuring for me here. So, all right, so each half is going to weigh 450 pounds, okay? That's what you pay for if you're buying it by the hang weight. You pay for 450 pounds. You're not getting 450 pounds of meat in your freezer. You got to take the bones out. You got to take a lot of the fat and meat that's not processed into hamburger meat and stuff. So the way you figure that is you take 450 pounds times basically kind of that same number. Let me get my calculator up here. So 450 pounds times, let's just go with 0.60. So you're going to bring home 270 pounds of meat to put in the freezer. Even though you pay for 450 pounds, you're going to bring 270 pounds of beef home. And I hear so many people go, man, I didn't get all my beef back. I know this is not the beef I raised. And them are some of the number one complaints that I hear. I don't hear it from me, from people that buy beef from me, but I hear it from people that I dropped calf off and I know I didn't get the right beef back, or I didn't get all my beef back. Just so you know, that's the numbers you need to kind of go off of. Whatever your calf weighed live when they shot it, or rehomed it. Let me rephrase that. Rehomed it. And then, so your hang weight's going to be somewhere around 60 to 65%, with 65% being awesome. I mean, there's very few of those, but they it happens. And then when they start processing it, putting it in the butcher paper, you're going to get somewhere between 58 and 62 to 63% of that off your hang weight. I hope that didn't complicate anything. I'm just telling you, people, that's the percentages. That's what you get. Another interesting and related trend is that of quality grades over time. The grading percent chart shows the percentage of fed cattle grading prime, choice, and select weekly since 1998. Choice carcasses represent about 50 to 55% of the cattle in the 2000s, but has now been somewhere around 75%. I guess they must have read that other deal I read. Meanwhile, the percentage of cattle grading select has declined from roughly 35% in the early 2000s to less than 15% in the recent years. Genetic improvements, cow-calf stocker management practices, and feedlot technologies have played roles in the increase. It is also worth noting that the more recent increase in carcass grade and prime for the past few weeks, more cattle have graded prime than select. About 3 to 4% of the cattle graded prime 20 years ago, now it's up to 10 to 12%, which is a good thing. Sorry, it's a little bit of the same story I read a while ago. I didn't see that in there, but it's interesting. So, like I said, again, hats off to the producers and hats off to the feedlot. And some of the technology that they're talking about at the feedlots is they've got these ear tags that they're putting in cattle, EIDs, whatever they call them. Sorry, I'm having hung out in feedlots a lot, so I don't know what they call it, but they can monitor the temperature on some of these cattle and stuff. If they see a little bit of differential, you know, they can see what's going on with that calf. So I don't know where the numbers is. I guess I need to call a couple of feedlots and see where the numbers are, since they've went to these electronic tags in these calves in the feedlot. I'm wondering if their death loss percentage is way down compared to what it was 20 years ago. Anybody knows, 580-225-9697. If you know any of that information. So anyway, some good stuff going on with cattle, especially with the quality. Let's see here. I'm going to save that for later. One last story before I go to my last break. I seen on in the Farm Journal this morning, while 56% of farmers say they believe the ongoing trade disputes with China and other countries will hurt them financially this year, 70% say they believe the U.S. and the agriculture specifically will benefit in the long term. Willing to endure short-term pain for long-term gain might best describe the U.S. farmers' current sentiment of regarding ongoing trade and tariff troubles with China and other countries. Bill Flurry, who grows wheat in northern Idaho, said he likes how the U.S. is handling the current negotiations with its trade partners, especially China. Officials from two countries are set for talks this weekend in Switzerland. I'll just say the Trump administration is doing some excellent heavy lifting. A lot of tough negotiations that will have direct and indirect impacts on production, ag, Flory said. A similar guy appears to be shared on a broad scale by U.S. farmers, according to the latest Purdue University Ag Economy Barometer, which was released Tuesday. I guess I didn't get that. The barometer, a nationwide measure of health of the U.S. agriculture economy, showed improved farmer outlook in April, climbing 8 points to a reading of 148. This was driven by farmers' optimism, despite their ongoing concerns about the impact of the trade war and tariffs, reported Jim Mintard, a professor of economics at Purdue University. The improvement and farmer sentiment is came as a bit of a surprise, he said. As he dug deeper into the survey results, he was able to identify how farmers were thinking about their finances in the present as well as in the future. When farmers were asked about what tariffs might mean for their finances in 2025, over half, 56%, said they believe there's a good chance that tariffs will reduce farm income this year. But when we came back and asked them how they felt about the tariffs' impact on ag economy from a long-term perspective, 70% said they think the tariffs will be beneficial long-term to the U.S. agriculture. So my thoughts on that deal is, yes, we're going to hurt. Our prices on grains and stuff weren't worth a crap before they started all this. And it's hurt it a little bit price-wise. And when I read the reports on Monday, we're still shipping out as much grain as we ever have. Wheat was down this week compared to the last two or three weeks, but we're still shipping. And I guess that probably has to do with the 24-25 marketing year compared to the 25-26 marketing year for like wheat's coming up here in about two or three weeks. We get into a new marketing year. I'm not an expert on this. I'm just rattling off some stuff, but yes, the ships, the ports in America are not the greatest right now because all the ships from China is not coming in. But you got to think about it on this side. China's ports aren't busy. Yes, maybe they can get their grains, their soybeans, and all that stuff from Brazil and stuff. But the United States was their number one customer to export products to. And it's shut down. I mean, I guess if we want them, we're going to put whoever getting them, the tariffs are going to be paid. So it's just like, I'm going to slap you on the right side of the face, but you're going to get slapped on the left side, maybe even in a little punch in the nose for what this is going on. So come on. Hopefully everybody just keep their fingers crossed and hopefully some deals get made this weekend before between the two countries so we can get back to getting after it. Oklahoma Farm Bureau. You know, they was at my place yesterday, and I'm telling you, Blake Stevens posted on his Facebook page yesterday with pictures of them being out at my farm. The Oklahoma Farm Bureau was taking the Western Oklahoma tour out here on a big bus. And that's a really cool deal. If you ever get a chance to go on the tour with the Oklahoma Farm Bureau on the bus, they got their own little earpieces with the deal that they hang on the side. And so when a speaker's talking, they could be standing 100 feet away and hearing plain as day. So they're high technologies, you know, high tech, but there was really nice people. And speaking of that, before I take this break, so we were walking from the bus to the high tunnel, and I stopped there to let them look at that crimper. And I was talking to a gentleman, and he is from Cherokee County, in Eastern Oklahoma, and he was telling me about that their county has a take back program, but it's kind of cool. So their county has a spot that you can drop off your hay wrap, and then they dispose of it in a landfill, which, you know, that's not the greatest thing, but that's where all hay wrap goes anyway, if you dump it off in the dumpster, including the hay wrap that falls on the county and state highways that they have to pick up because somebody didn't secure the wrap or didn't have. Because what brought this up is he looked on the back of my pickup and he said, "What is that?" And I said, "That's a catch-all." And I said, "The gentleman that come up with it lives about 15 minutes south of here on the highway." He said, "So you just put hay wrap in it?" And I said, "From both sides." And I said, "And it'll take a lot of hay wrap." So this conversation started, but in their county, Cherokee County, is that where Tishomingo is? Am I thinking right? The county has a dump spots, drop-off spots for hay wrap. But they're coming up, and she said his wife said she'd get back with me. They're coming up with a deal where they're going to melt down the hay wrap and make it into pots. And what kind of pots, I don't know. And for some of you guys that are thinking what I'm thinking, you're thinking, no, it's not the smoke. It's, you know, flower pots, protein tubs, stuff like that. I think it's cool as heck. And I can't wait to get into more details with this. So they stepped it up. One of the counties over there in eastern Oklahoma stepping it up. And maybe we can get something like that started around here. They do have a twine recycle program going on in the whole United States. And I contacted them about hay wrap. And they, at this time, they don't recycle hay wrap in their program. So we'll see how it goes. But as Oklahoma's largest general farm organization with members in all 77 counties, represented by 77 county farm bureaus, our work and efforts span all of agriculture as we work to ensure our state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau by going to their office there in Cheyenne. Memberships are $37.50 and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various businesses. 580-497-2579 or just go to okfarmbureau.org to join the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. They do a really good job. And so if anybody hears of any of these programs like that, recycling hay wrap or having dump sites for hay wrap, man, I'm your guy. Let me know. I'll pass the word. I promise you. Let's take Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. Brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
So there's a company out there that has a certain color. All the farmers and stuff think their oil has to be used in those certain color of tractors. And it's just not true. So here at Camrock, we have the same specification oil as the other brand, where people think that they have to use that for a certain color on their tractors and stuff like that. But we have the same oil specifications as they do. Works just as well, does the same thing, lubes it just the same. Price comparison is, it's not even a comparison. We have a better price than anybody around on that type of oil. I use it at our place. My son uses it for our colored tractors that we have, and a lot of other farmers use it too. It's the same oil, specifications are the same. It's kind of a myth where they think that it's got to be that certain type of oil for that color of tractor.
Camrock is the name of the company. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
We have a better price than anybody around on that type of oil.
My mom used to take me to the local dairy when I was a little girl, and I always was interested in learning where my food came from. I didn't grow up on a farm. I'm from the city, but please don't hold that against me. We owned a farm in Colorado and again here in western Oklahoma. My name's Becky Brown, and my husband's name is Tony Tummins, and together we own BT Butchers, a mobile meat processor. We bring our trailers to you, your place processed your way. Please find us at B as in Becky, T as in Tony, butchers.com. That's BTButchers.com. We would love to help you feed your family. The short wait list and two-day turnaround means we move pretty fast, and since we come to you, it really is convenient. Not bad for a girl from the city. We would love to help you feed your family.
Save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires through May 31st. Firestone Ag Tires are 30 to 40% off through May 31. Blair Tire and Feed is helping you get ready for planting season by helping you save money. Here's what you need to know right now. You can save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires at Blair Tire and Feed until the last day of May. Right now, get the tires you need for planting season and save money. For contact information, Google Blair Tire and Feed, or just drive to Blair and get your tires.
Are you looking for a new metal building that's built to last? Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone brings you top-tier craftsmanship and second-to-none quality with attention to detail. From luxury custom barn dominiums to shops or barns and commercial buildings, our buildings don't just look good, they're built to last with all custom weld-up, I-beam, and C-Perlin construction. From design to completion, we do it right. That's Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone.
I've told multiple people that have business ideas that come in, I said, bring me everything you got, even if it's scratched on a napkin, and it doesn't have to be professional looking. I want to see what you went through because I want to help you and then at least give them my 2 cents. The loan's going to stand on its own. You know, I'm not going to decide based off you brought this on a napkin. The point is if they've thought it through, it makes you more comfortable. You get more comfortable with them. They also get more comfortable with you because you're going to point out things that they may have thought of, didn't put down.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Huh, interesting. What did I do wrong? Why are you in here? You check out our new chairs, boss? I did. You want to talk on the radio, see what it feels like talking a good chair? One of my listeners said, I seen a county that took all their schools in the county, and whoever got the most net wrap in an amount of time got a cash prize. Huh, that'd be interesting. All right, let's check out the Tipton. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. 71 degrees, dew points 56. Humidity's 59. The winds are out of the northwest at 5 miles an hour. 5.52 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 64 degrees. Sunset at 8:26. Mostly cloudy and 75 degrees. Day, the night, 53. Tomorrow, 20% slight chance of thunderstorms and 77 degrees. Oh, how would the Day in Ag show go on a Thursday without me talking about the new Penny News that came out? Go pick it up, hot off the press. That's really good looking. Penny News is, but there is such thing. But I wanted to share because Mother Day's coming up, and it's titled "A Mother's Worth, Just a Scoop Full of Love." I want to share this with you guys. It's really good. Happy Mother's Day. God knew what he was doing when he created a mom. She's the only person you can count on when no one else will stand up for you. She also gives you the benefit of the doubt. She will fix you dinner when she's just as tired as everyone else sitting in the living room. Voices hollering, "Mom, when will dinner be ready?" She will wash your clothes at 11 o'clock in the evening when you just told her you have a football game tomorrow and your jersey is dirty. She's the bus driver. She's the coach. She's the doctor. She's the nurse. She's the cheerleader. Sometimes the mechanic. She runs a laundromat and sees psychiatrists. She's the hired hand plus all income. She fights the most real battles for you. She gives you all her joy and happiness and sometimes her sadness because life is tough. Dad is grinning in the corral. She is the one person that that wants to have as much better life than she had. She will eat at least favorite chicken so you can have a couple of your top pieces. The least favorite chicken. There we go. She's the one that will shed a lot of tears long after you're asleep because you were unkind. She's the secretary and the nurse. She will not buy herself anything just to make sure you're in style, and she's not. I want to tell Dad how much I appreciated her. She's the one that has sacrificed her appearance to give you life. She's the truck driver headed to the cattle sale. She has a towing service when Dad got stuck in the mud, and someone should have hollered the mud was this deep because he was counting the cattle. She is the veterinarian because the calf is sick and the only one on the farm. She's a cheerleader and the loudest at the game because you just scored. She's the one that does her best to teach you manners when it seems like a hopeless cause. She's an alarm clock. She's the one that will let you bend the rules. Just don't tell your dad. She might as well have been a preacher because she said more prayers for you than you will ever know. I wish I had one more chance to tell my mom how much I appreciated her. And if she could hear me now, I just want to say I love you, Mom. That's from Jerry Nine. That was awesome reading. I had to share that with you guys. Also out in the Penny News is the Atwoods insert. And I'm going to tell you that the buy of the week is true. It's the Wasp and Hornet Killer. It's normal about $3. It's $2 now, $1.99. Go get you about 20 cases of this. Because with all this rain and stuff, and it starts warming up here like it is doing right now, dude, them yellow jackets are going to be coming out in major droves. Don't kill nothing other. Don't get scared of nothing else. Those hornets, those big hornets, ground hornets, don't kill them. Don't kill the bumblebees. Don't kill the honeybees. Let them do their job. Yellow jackets, they're not good for nothing. So we'll see you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank of Trust, Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma.
You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.